তোমাদের ওখানে ইয়ে করতে পারো সব, মানে প্রজেকশন যে কোনো গান করতে পারো, সকলে দেখতে পাবে কি? গোড়া গুণ গাওয়াই করা যাক। প্রজেকশন নাম
কৃষ্ণ পদায় কৃষ্ণ পৃষ্ঠায় ভূতলে শ্রীমতে ভক্তি বেদান্ত স্বামী নামিনে নমস্তে সরস্বতী দেবে গৌরবাণী প্রচারিণে নির্বিশেষ শূন্যবাদী পাশ্চাত্যাধিষ্ঠিতা শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ কি। শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শিবাশাদি গৌরভক্তবৃন্দ নমো মহাবদন্নায় কৃষ্ণ প্রেম প্রদায়তে কৃষ্ণায় কৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য নাম্নে গৌরদিশে নমঃ। হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম রাম। So, we are discussing about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, he went to South India. He went to South India and he traveled all the way to Dwarka actually. Then he came back to Jagannath Puri. He visited all the places of pilgrimage on the way and he converted, he inspired everyone to become devotees of Krishna. He inspired everyone to take to Krishna consciousness. It has been described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that many people were atheistic, many others were impersonalist, many were offenders, but due to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's influence, due to Mahaprabhu's, some people became attracted to him just by his beauty. He was so handsome, he was so beautiful. People became attracted to him. People became attracted to him because of his very sweet presentation of Krishna consciousness. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he is very concerned about everyone. And he guided them to become devotees. Some became surrendered to him because they were defeated in arguments. So that was one condition that used to be prevalent in India in the early days. If somebody came up with a greater understanding, better understanding about the spiritual concept, then the one who is to be defeated used to accept him as his guru, as his teacher, and used to accept his teachings. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu influenced in a very wonderful way, influenced the entire South India in a very, very wonderful way. And he visited all the places of pilgrimage there. He traveled to, not only to Krishna temple or Vishnu temple. South India had many, many temples. He also visited the Shiva temples. He also visited Devi temples, Durga temples. And he also visited the Kartikeya temple, Skanda. In South India, Kartikeya is quite, Murugan is quite popular also. So on the way, all the temples that he came across, he just visited those temples. And wherever he went, he just attracted people towards Krishna's lotus feet. Then, after visiting, after coming back to Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to Vrindavan. And the way to Vrindavan from Navadvip was going to North Bengal, to the travel north, and then travel through Bihar, UP, and then come to Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the normal course, and when he came, then he came to a village called Ramkeli in North India. In that place, two very, very exalted devotees used to live. Who are they? Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. They were also placed in very exalted government position. One was a chief minister or prime minister, whatever you want to call him, Pradhan Mantri. And the other one, other brother, was the finance minister. Two most important departments were controlled by these two persons. Although the king was Muslim, and they were Brahmanas, they were Hindus, Hindu Brahmanas, but the king gave them this very important position, this very important responsibility. There's an incident behind it. The king actually got to know how intelligent these two brothers were. And the king invited them to become the ministers. So, and they knew that as Brahmanas, if they accepted the job of a Muslim king, then the Brahmana community would reject them. But still they had to accept that offer, because otherwise they would be in trouble, because Husain Shah was an extremely tyrannical person, extremely cruel person. When you go to his kingdom, his capital, which is a place called Maldaha, there's a very tall tower. Husain Shah built that tower after conquering some country as a sign of victory, victory tower. And there is a saying that when Husain Shah was inspecting that tower, he found some defect, some fault. And the architect was there, and next to him. So he became so angry that he picked up the architect and threw him from top of the tower. So this was how cruel and tyrannical Husain Shah actually was. So to be in his kingdom and not accept his offer could lead to some very big trouble. Therefore Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami accepted their position. But they were rejected by the Brahminical, the Hindu community there. Although they are very exalted Brahmanas, but just because they have accepted the job of a Muslim king, the Brahmana community rejected them, ostracized them. The Hindu society at that time was very heartless, very cruel. Their activities were very, very inhuman at times. And that's why many people converted into Islam. In one hand, the Muslims are converting the Hindus. And many Hindus voluntarily became converted to Muslim because they were fed up with the tyrannical attitude of the Brahmanas at that time. There was one such incident with Subuddhi Roy. Subuddhi Roy was the king. He was a very big landlord there. Although he was not a recognized king as such, but he was like a king because he was a big landlord. And Hussein Shah actually was an employee at one time. And he gave him an assignment to dig a well. Subuddhi Roy gave Hussein Shah the assignment to dig a well. And Hussein Shah made some mistake in that, or he did not execute that job properly. So the king, Subuddhi Roy, caned him, whipped. Now, I don't know whether you know, the mark of whip, when you get slashed by a whip, that mark always stays there. It doesn't go away. So eventually, later on, Hussein Shah became the king. And so one day his queen, Begum, noticed that mark on his back. So she asked, what actually happened? How did you get this mark? So Hussein Shah told the story that how he was an employee by Subuddhi Roy, and once he made some mistake in his executing his assignment, and the king punished him by whipping him. And that is that mark. So the queen became very upset. Said that, so he did such a thing to you, so you should kill him. So Hussein Shah tried to reason with her that actually Subuddhi Roy was right what he did, because he did really make some mistake. And besides that, in one occasion Subuddhi Roy may have been so harsh with him, but generally Subuddhi Roy was very kind to him. So that's why he never thought of taking any revenge, although he became the king about that. But the queen kept on insisting, no, you have to do it, you have to kill him. So then Hussein Shah considered that taking away his religion would be similar to killing. Because if he loses his religion, then he would consider as if he is dead. And he made him drink. He made Subuddhi Roy, instead of killing him, he made him drink the contaminated water. That would make him fall from his religious conviction, religious status. So he was forced to drink that water. He didn't want to convert into Islam, but he was forced. And that's how they would do that. There are such, some funny incidences of conversion those days. So for example, once a Brahmana associate of the king, Muslim king, told him, he invited him to his house, and he mentioned in course of time that by smelling the food is equal to half eating the food. Ghrane artha bhojanam. If you take the smell, that means eating. So then one day the Nawab invited him to his house, to his palace, and they were cooking meat. So then the smell was there. So he said, look, you have eaten meat. So you lost your religion. You have become a Muslim now. He said, why? Because didn't you smell that some foodstuff was being cooked? And you know what good stuff it was? It was meat. And in this way he was forced to give up his religion and become a Muslim. The similar thing was also happened to Subuddhi Roy by force. He forced him to drink some water called Karwa Pani. Pani means water. Karwa means contaminated water. In whichever way, by the touch of a Muslim, or maybe they soak some meat or something. What it may have been. So Subuddhi Roy then consulted, after that, he consulted some learned brahmanas. So how to, what to do about, to atone for this, what has happened to him. So those brahmanas said, you have to drink molten lead. You have to drink molten lead to purify yourself. So Subuddhi Roy said, well, if I drink molten lead, I will die. He said, well, that is the atonement. But then Subuddhi Roy consulted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? These brahmanas are giving all kinds of... Somebody said that you have to eat molten lead. Somebody said that you have to build a cow with gold and offer it to the brahmanas. So that also Subuddhi Roy found that was impossible. So this is how they are making all kinds of proposals to atone for the drinking, the contaminated water given by the Muslim. But when Subuddhi Roy approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instruct him? He just chants the holy name of the Lord and that will be enough. See, this is how the actual process of spiritual advancement is. Spiritual life is very simple. Spiritual life is not complex. In this respect, Prabhupada is saying, is it difficult for the son to approach the father? Will it ever become difficult for the son to approach the father? Rather, the father is waiting for the son to come back. The father goes out of his way to get his son back. So now, if Krishna is our supreme father, will it be difficult at all to approach Krishna? Never. Only some ignorant fools come up with all kinds of concocted ideas that makes spiritual life sound very, very austere and full of difficulties. Actual spiritual life is very simple. As Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam. Just surrender unto me. That's about all. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to leave home. You don't have to leave your occupation. You don't have to accept any kind of austerity. All you have to do is surrender to Krishna. And Krishna will take care of the rest. That's as he is saying, Aham Tvam Sarva Papi Vimokshayishyami. You just surrender and I will take care of you in all respects. So that is we see, that is what we see through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dealing. All these brahmanas gave all kinds of suggestions for remedy or atonement. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what was his suggestion? Just chant the holy name of the Lord. And that will be enough. And then Subuddhi Roy left. He went to Vrindavan. And he started to chant the holy name of the Lord, taking shelter of the Lord, and serving the Vaishnavas. Those days Vrindavan was a forest. And due to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's influence, many Bengalis used to go to Vrindavan. Because they got to know about the importance of Vrindavan. and they used to go to Vrindavan. But Vrindavan was a forest. Like so many of them went. Chaitanya Rupa Goswami went, Sanatana Goswami went, Lokanath Goswami went. So all these devotees were going to Vrindavan. And so Bengalis are fond of eating rice. But in Vrindavan, if they don't get rice, those days there was no rice. Rice never used to grow there. That was the place where there used to be only wheat growing. So Subuddhi Roy, how he used to maintain himself? He used to go to the forest, although he was a king. He used to cut the wood and take the wood to Mathura and sell the wood. Because in Vrindavan there was only forest. And what he used to earn from selling lakdi, wood, for burning fuel, half he used to maintain himself, and the half he used to keep saving. And when the Bengalis used to come to Vrindavan, he used to buy rice, arrange some rice and feed the Bengalis. Bengali Vaishnava. So anyway, to go back to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they also are rejected by the Brahminical community. And they wrote to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that please bestow your mercy upon us and deliver us. We are so fallen. We have been ostracized by the Hindu community. But we don't want to give up the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So you please tell us what we should do. They wrote to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, knowing well that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then Chaitanya, because of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this Ramkeli village. Not a village, it was a very beautiful outskirts of the city of Malda, the capital of Bengal of that time. And they used to live in a village. And in that place they created Vrindavan. They had Radhakund, they had Shyamkund, they had Giri Govardhan, and they used to, although they were engaged in king service, they were spending their time in devotional practices. Then one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there, and they got the news that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. And the king also got the news that a saintly personality has come who is traveling and hundreds of thousands of people are following him. Literally, lakh-lakh aadmi. Lakh means 100,000. Ek lakh mein, do lakh mein. लाख लाख आदमी उनके पीछे जा रहे थे. सो द किंग आस्क्ड द कोतवाल, द चीफ ऑफ द पुलिस, हु वाज अ हिंदू. सो ही आस्क्ड हिम दैट आई हर्ड दैट सम हिंदू सेंट हैज कम एंड हंड्रेड्स ऑफ थाउजेंड्स ऑफ पीपल आर फॉलोइंग हिम. So the Kotwal became a little concerned. He thought that if the king finds out, then the king will cause some problem to him. So he said, not really that many people, just a few people are following him. The king said, no, I know how many people are following him. So and then when the king asked who he is, then the king got the answer from him that the one who made you the king it is he who is. Anyway, the king accepted that this great personality is considered by the Hindus to be the supreme personality of Godhead. And in the evening, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami came to meet him, two ministers. They are very well-known personalities. But they were afraid also, if they get to know, if the Muslim people get to know that he came to visit him, then they may harm him. Therefore, they came in disguise. They did not come revealing their own identity. They, hiding their identity, they came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And along with them, they brought their nephew, Jiva Goswami. He was a little boy at that time. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed him by placing his lotus feet on his head. So it is described that by doing that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually indicated that he would become the future Acharya. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Ramkeli. Now he started to travel west from there. And he came to the border of Bihar and Bengal in a place called Kanai Nadshala. And there he decided not to go to Vrindavan with so many people following him. So he changed his mind and he changed his course and went back to Jagannath Puri. Because he felt that going to Vrindavan with so many people, he would not be able to appreciate Vrindavan, his visit of Vrindavan. So he went back to Jagannath Puri. And then he decided to go to Vrindavan from Jagannath Puri after staying there for some time. He decided to go to Jagannath Puri, but this time with just one companion, Baladatta Bhattacharya. And he did not take the normal course going through the northern part of Bengal and then Bihar and going to Vrindavan. He took another course from Jagannath Puri. He came from Orissa, he came west. Instead of going north, he came west. And he came through the forest of Jharkhand. So he came to Madhya Pradesh also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And though, as you know, even now, good part of Madhya Pradesh is forest. Good part, and those days Jharkhand was a forest. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the forest path to avoid too many people following him. And sometimes he would encounter with the wild animals. Like one day when he was going, he was ecstatic. He was not walking. He was dancing with singing. He was singing and dancing and he was traveling that way. And he did not have his external senses. So one day Balabhadra Bhattacharya saw that a tiger was lying on the way. It was tiger was fast asleep. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stepped onto the tiger. The tiger woke up with a growl. But then the tiger put his head down and just walked away. Another time, When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was singing and dancing, all these wild animals also joined him in his singing and dancing. In their own way, they also started to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. The monkeys were dancing. It's not surprising, monkeys can dance. Snakes were dancing. That's also not surprising. They also dance. But the tigers stood up on two legs with two other hands up. They also started to dance. The deer started to dance. Bears started to dance. Elephants started to dance. In ecstasy of chanting and hearing and chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So this is the power of the holy name. Now, is it something strange? It is strange, but it's not impossible. Why? Because the pure chanting affects the soul, especially innocent souls. Animals in that way are innocent. They're covered, but they're innocent. And this chanting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu penetrated through their gross and subtle material covering. And when the pure spirit, when the soul heard this chanting of the holy name, what happened to the soul? The soul became purified. So that is how we can see what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did in the, during his travel to Vrindavan was nothing unusual, nothing uncommon. And that is why loud chanting of the holy name is so important. Even the animals benefit by hearing the chanting. What to speak of animals, even the trees and plants whose consciousness is completely covered, even the trees and plants benefit by hearing the chanting of the holy name. That is why in this age, the Lord has prescribed that everyone get involved in loud chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Because by the sound vibration of the holy name, not only the chanter will benefit, but those who hear, they'll benefit. Irrespective of their present situation, whether they are in a human body, whether they are in an animal body, a bird body, a reptile body, insect body, even trees and plants body, they will derive spiritual benefit. Then in course, in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled through the forest. But when he came to habitation, he was spending his time in the holy places, taking advantage of the holy places. Not only taking advantage of the holy places, but benefiting the holy places. What does a sensi personality do? Tirthi kurvanti tirthani. He sanctified the holy places. So by his presence, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sanctified the holy places. And Mahaprabhu stayed in Varanasi, Kashi, and Banaras. Varanasi or Kashi is the land, is the place of Lord Shiva. And as a result of that, many impersonalists, those who don't accept the the personal feature of the Absolute Truth, rather being affected by Shankaracharya, who is an incarnation of Lord Shiva, they take shelter of that place, Varanasi. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, and Varanasi was the place of many, many impersonalist sannyasis, headed by Prakashananda Saraswati. So Prakashananda Saraswati was the leader of the Mayavadi sannyasis, Ekadandi Sankar sannyasis. And he was actually very upset with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted Sarvabhu Bhattacharya. The news spread naturally that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted Sarvabhu Bhattacharya. Now Sarvabhu Bhattacharya became a devotee of Krishna. So he had some grudge against Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because of that. And when he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there, he started to blaspheme. He started to say all kinds of bad things about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was totally unconcerned about that. But his devotees became very, very upset. His devotees became very, very disappointed. And they were thinking, like, this guy is blaspheming along with his associates, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So something should be done. So because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Bhakta Vatsal, the Lord fulfills the desires of his devotees. When a devotee desires something, the Lord fulfills that desire. So when the devotees started to desire it that way, although they didn't tell Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but naturally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the super soul of everyone, knew that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the arrangement that a brahmana came and invited him to come to his house. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu generally did not accept any invitation like that. And this brahmana also mentioned that he invited all the sannyasis of Varanasi. So that would be more reason for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to not go there, because a devotee generally don't want to associate with the impersonalist, Mayavadi. So, but this time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that. So these are the indications that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually made this arrangement to fulfill the desire of his devotees. And in course of time, on that due date, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived in that house of the brahmana, where all of the sannyasis, or Mayavadi sannyasis, were present. And they all were sitting on big elevated seats like this one. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went and sat down at the place where the guests' feet were being washed. So, and not only he sat down at the place, right, generally where it happens, where the foot washing takes place, just next to the door. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just came and sat there. But he displayed his spiritual effulgence. And just that sight simply changed their hearts. Prakashananda Saraswati himself came out and said, why, you're a sannyasi, why are you sitting there in the dirty place where the feet are being washed? Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, look, I am not qualified to sit with you all. I am just a very insignificant, lowly personality. And hearing that prakasha from the Saraswati felt even more bad. So he took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his hand and took him onto the stage and sat down. And then they started to converse with each other. He asked, "Look, you're a sannyasi. Why do you behave like this? This is not the way a sannyasi should behave." Because the Mayavadi sannyasi is a very serious matter. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just told him some very simple words. Prakashana Saraswati asked, "Why are you, instead of indulging in discussion of Vedanta, consulting with Vedantas, you are just chanting and dancing? Why is that?" So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, "Look, my spiritual master saw that I was a big fool. And he told me, that you do not have the right to study Vedanta. You simply chant this holy name of the Lord." Actually, what Ishwarpuri told him is that there is no need to study Vedantas and all. Don't waste your time in that. Just chant the holy name of the Lord. And saying that, he quoted a verse from the scriptures. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Viva Kevala, Kalo Naste Vana, Ste Vana, Ste Vana, Ste Vana. In the age of Kali, there is no other way besides chanting the holy name of the Lord. And since my spiritual master instructed me in that way, following his instruction, I just chant. And when I started to chant, I don't know what happened. This holy name made me mad. I lost my consciousness, I lost my composure, and this is how I started to behave. So I went to my spiritual master and I told him, "My Lord, what kind of mantra did you give me? This mantra made me mad. Kiba mantra dila guru, kiba tar bol, jogite jogite mantra korila pagol. Pagol. Pagal vanati. This mantra just made me mad. What kind of mantra did you give me? I thought this mantra will take me to a great realization and things, but what to speak of realization? I lost my even present consciousness and present composure." So, in this way, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his spiritual master. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describing Prakashananda Saraswati. Then my spiritual master told me, "This is the nature of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This Hare Krishna Mahamantra gives Krishna prema. And this Krishna prema causes ecstasy. And it is that due to that ecstasy that one behaves like that. You are very fortunate that chanting the holy name has become perfected by your chanting. The holy name has become perfected by your chanting. So you are very fortunate. So since then, according to the instruction of my spiritual master, I simply chant and dance." Prakashananda Saraswati was the leader of 16,000 sannyasis. He became converted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. So he also started to chant the holy name. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So then they went to Ganga in a Sankirtan. Can you imagine 60,000 people? Sannyasis is participating, dancing in ecstasy. They went to Ganga. And this is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the very, very staunch Mayavadi sannyasis like Prakashananda Saraswati and his sannyasi followers. Another very wonderful incident to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is his encounter with Ramananda Roy. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to South India, he came to the bank of Godavari in a place called Gokul. And Mahaprabhu was sitting there on the bank of the river. And then he saw and a noble personality came with a royal entourage. Many, many brahmanas were following him, many soldiers were following him. And he just came to take bath, riding on a palanquin. So after this personality took his bath, he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also saw him. And they embraced each other. Everybody was surprised. What's happening? Why this sannyasi is embracing this governor? And this governor is embracing a sannyasi. It's an unusual sight. Why? What's happening? So, in the meantime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing him, he asked him, "You must be Ramananda Roy." He said, "Yes, I am the servant of the servant of the Lord." He said, "Sarvabhu Bhattacharya told me about you." I said, "He asked me to meet you." And so, but he responded very humbly, admitting that he is an insignificant servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And then Ramananda Roy felt that this is not the right time to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he made arrangement. He made an appointment that at certain place he would meet him the next day. So the next day Ramananda Roy came with just one Brahmin companion. And he sat with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that Sarvabhu Bhattacharya told me about so much about you, so I am very eager to see you and listen to you. So tell me, please tell me, what is the ultimate goal of life? Here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is asking questions. Generally, he speaks, he advises. Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Bhagavad Gita is full of such instructions. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. But here, the Lord is asking, what is the goal of life? What is the ultimate goal of life? So Ramananda Roy, quoting the scriptures, mentioned that to pursue Varnashram Dharma is the goal of life. Varnashram Acharavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnur Anadhati Pantha Nainanta Toshakarina. Practicing Varnashram is the way to worship the Supreme Personality. He presented that as the ultimate goal of life. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, that's external. External means this is a material consideration. Because Varnashram is based on the three modes of material nature. So this cannot be the ultimate goal, because it's dealing with the modes of material nature, and the consideration is on the basis of the modes of material nature. Then Ramananda Rai spoke about Karma Yoga, and he quoted from Bhagavad Gita to substantiate his statement. Jat karosi jadasnasi jat jugosi dadasi jat jat tapusho shikonteya tat purusho mahatma. Jat karosi, whatever you do. Jadasnasi, whatever you eat. Jat tapasoshi, jat jugasi, whatever you perform in sacrifice, whatever you give in charity, whatever austerity you perform, all should be done. All the result of all those actions should be offered to Krishna. Tat purusha madarpana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that also. Say, that is external. Tell me what is beyond that. Then Ramananda Roy told about karma tyag, renunciation of karma. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that also. That's also external. Tell me what is beyond that. Then Ramananda Roy told about Gyana Yoga. And to substantiate that, he recited the verse. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Sochati Na Kaankshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhakti Lavate Parama. This Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. When one attains the stage of Brahma Bhuta, then his heart becomes completely satisfied. At that time, na sochati, na kaankshati. There is no hankering and there is no lamentation. At that time one sees everyone with an equal vision. Sama sarveshu bhuteshu. And mat bhaktim labhate param. At that stage one achieves my para bhakti, my transcendental devotion. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that also. He said, this is also external, tell me what is beyond that. At that time, Ramananda Roy spoke about pure devotional service. The pure devotional service is free from the influence of jnana and karma. Anna vilashita shuddham jnana karmad anapritam anupullena krishnanusudanam bhakti uttama. That Uttama Bhakti. What is the symptom of Uttama Bhakti? Anna Vilashita Shunyam. Free from any other desire besides devotion to Krishna. Jnana Karmad Anapritam. Even free from the coverings of jnana and karma. So at that stage, Mad Bhakti. And at that stage, that is called Bhakti Uttama Uttama. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that. He said, yes, that's right. Tell me what's beyond that. Then Ramananda Rai explained Bhakti in five different levels, gradually getting better and better, getting higher and higher. First, Shanta Bhakti, Bhakti in Shanta Ras, Bhakti in Dasya Ras, Bhakti in Sakhya Ras, Bhakti in Vatsalya Ras, then Bhakti in Madhurya Ras. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that. He said, that's right. Tell me beyond that. What is beyond that? So then Ramananda Roy explained that Madhurya Bhakti in Braj, Krishna has many gopis. When Krishna was dancing with the gopis, there were one Krishna between two gopis. But in the center, Krishna was dancing one Krishna with one gopi. So this gopi must be very special. He was dancing with 16,000 gopis and he expanded himself into the form that he could. There was each Krishna, one Krishna between two gopis. And every gopi was thinking that Krishna was dancing with her. So this one, where one Krishna is dancing with one gopi in the center, must be very special. And at one time, this gopi got upset. And she left the Rasa Mandali. And when she left the Rasa Mandali, Krishna left all 16,000 gopis and followed her. So she must be very special. So in this way, Ramananda Rai pointed out that this one gopi who is so special among all the gopis. And who is this gopi? Anaya Radhita Nunam Bhagavan Hari Visharo Janno Vihayo Govinda Anaya Radhita. So, this particular gopi is very expert in Anaya Radhita, in the Aradhana of Sri Krishna. Therefore, Sri is Srimati Radha. And in this way, Ramananda Rai started to speak about Radharani. And in course of the discussion, he started to point out that this Radha and Krishna about to become one. So at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu covered Ramananda Rai's mouth and said, enough, enough, you don't have to tell anymore. Because now his identity will become revealed. So this is how, through this discussion with Ramananda Rai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the perfect understanding of this Krishna consciousness philosophy. His teaching has got a perfect shape, which has been elaborated by Srila Sanatana Goswami through his Brihat Bhagavatam. The same point Sanatana Goswami elaborated in two parts of Brihat Bhagavatam. He is establishing also how Srimati Radharani is the greatest devotee. So, this is the gift that we are receiving from Krishna. Krishna came to give us Krishna Prem, Braja Prem. The first day, day before yesterday, in course of our discussion, I just pointed out that the purpose of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's coming is to give this Braja Prem. And this is how he gave it. And the process is, just chant the holy name. Just chant the holy name. There's nothing, you don't have to do anything else. to stand the holy name, but without offenses. As long as the offenses are there, the holy name will not work. But when the moment you become free from offenses, immediately the holy name will bestow his mercy upon us and we will get Krishna. Namo Mahavadanaya. Krishna Prema Pradayate. This personality, this most munificent personality, Mahavadanaya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is Krishna Prema Pradayate, distributing Krishna Prema. Then why we are not getting it? The reason we have to understand, there must be some offense. So chant the holy name without committing offense.
Seems that there are some questions here from the internet. Ramananda Rai, is the combined incarnation of Arjun, Arjun Shakha, Vishakha Devi. Arjun is in Shakha Ras, Vishakha Devi is in Madhurya Ras. Are these two rasas mixed in Ramananda, or he is in pure Madhurya Ras? You see, Mahaprabhu's associates are all in Dasya Ras. Mahaprabhu's associates, meaning their relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not in any other rasa but Dasya Ras. Our business is to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his servant. But then that will give us access to different other melos in the world, like Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya. And as you are saying that Ramananda Roy is Arjun the Pandava, Arjun Sakha of Raja, Vishakha, and another person you mentioned, you forgot to mention, that is Lalita Devi. Ramananda Rai, actually these four personalities in one entity. But that doesn't mean that their mellows are also there in Ramananda. All these four personalities are there, but their mellow, Ramananda Rai's mellow is Dasya. But when they are in Vrindavan, yes, Arjun is in Gaurav Sakya, Sakya mixed with opulence. Arjun of Vrindavan Braj, he is Vishrama Sakya. Friendship of intimacy without understanding that Krishna is, without considering that Krishna is God. And he is also Lalita and Vishakha, they are in Mathura. So in Vrindavan, they are all situated in their respective mellows. This one is Rakesh from Hyderabad. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. Maharaj, as a sadhaka, how we have to approach Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Approaching Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Dasyas, in servitorship. We simply have to serve him. We simply have to become engaged in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We simply have to be engaged in Sankirtan, and we simply have to engage others into Sankirtan. That is the way to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even in a sadhaka stage or even in siddha stage, perfect. At first I thought that I'll sing one song, the Gora Guna Gao Suni, but now the Abhishek is going to start at 6 o'clock. So, some other time, maybe tomorrow we will sing this. How many of you will be here tomorrow? Okay, how many of you won't be here tomorrow? Okay. And how many forgot to raise your hand?
Okay. Thank you, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaura Prema.